Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Today, Pastor Matthew speaks from Genesis chapter 4 with this message entitled, Cause and Cure of Depression, preached January 27th, 2013.
Genesis 4 and Psalm 73 teach particularly the cause and cure of depression. Misery and depression come from envy and discontent with God. Happiness is in repentance and faith in God. Psalmist was envious of sinners who were materially prospering when he was not. The wicked was prospering and the godly was not. And he was depressed until he realized his sin and trusted in God's everlasting goodness toward him. Thus he learned the truth with which he starts Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Adam and Eve lost the happiness of paradise, the happiness of fellowship with God, because they sinned against God by not trusting Him. Instead, they trusted in the devil, who promised happiness to them. But friends, happiness is in God. A life without God is a life of misery and depression. The wicked try to cover up their deep depression by partying. So we read 1 Peter 4, "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them in the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you." So, friends, all sinners are depressed until they repent of their sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gained paradise for us by his crushing of the head of the devil, by his atoning death on the cross. The Adam family was driven out from the presence of God that they may go toward the east. The cherubim guarded the tree of life by a flaming sword, which represented the wrath of God. Yet they were given hope, for we read God himself covered them, covered their sin by killing animals and covering them with their skins. This act of God pointed to the substitutionary atonement of the seed of the woman. So I believe that Adam family was instructed in the right way of approaching God, and that is by way of the blood sacrifice. 3 points I want to speak to you. First, divine sacrifice. Second, divine questioning. And the third, divine counsel. In Genesis 4, we read that Eve brought forth a son, Cain, whom she thought to be the Messiah. Messiah promised in Genesis 3:15, which is called Proto-Evangelion, the first gospel. But Cain was not the deliverer she expected. He was not a savior proved to be a murderer. We can identify with parents whose high hopes for their cute children were not fulfilled. Their children became wicked. Eve also bore another son, Abel. Cain and Abel, I believe, learned from their parents how to worship God acceptably, that is, by way of animal sacrifice. And if we read, Noah had this knowledge, as well as Abraham and others. You ask the question, where did they get this knowledge of divine sacrifice, blood sacrifice, except through oral tradition of God's spoken word? Cain was the first who brought offering to the Lord from the fruits of the soil. We are told Cain was a farmer. Abel also brought an offering to the Lord, the fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Abel was a keeper of flocks. We read in Leviticus 3:16, all the fat is the Lord's. Abel brought God the prescribed offering. So I believe Cain knew what offering he had to bring that would be pleasing to God. Friends, God's word, not your hunch, regulates authentic worship. Cain failed to bring the acceptable sacrifice. He was an unbeliever and unregenerate. Abel, by faith, brought, we read, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain did. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith comes not by listening to our hunch, but by hearing the word of God. But Cain would not hear the word or believe the word. Cain would not obey. He was a creative person. He did it his way. He thought obeying God is boring. There is no excitement or originality in it. He expected God to bless him with greater blessing for his creative and artistic worship. He expected an A+. But in reality, God gave him an F. And we see such creative worships in the Bible. Nadab and Abihu tried this, and God killed them. Leviticus 10. David tried this, and Uzzah was killed. 2 Samuel 6. King Uzziah tried this will worship, and he was cursed with leprosy. And we are told in the New Testament, in the Church of Corinth, God killed a number of believers for worshiping with impure hearts. 1 Corinthians 11. For this reason, many of you are weak and sick, and a number die. Friends, God is not seeking creativity. Your creativity. He is creator. He knows few things about creativity. He's seeking people with obedient hearts who worship God in spirit and in truth. Our sacrifice of worship should be holy and acceptable to Him. So we read in Genesis 4, verse 5, God was pleased with Abel and with his offering. If God doesn't accept your person, He will not accept anything you do. But God was not pleased with Cain and with his offering. Cain did not believe in God as Abel did. It is possible God approved Abel's sacrifice of fat portions of the firstborn of his flock by fire coming down from heaven and consuming it, as we read in Leviticus 9 and verse 24. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. The Lord gazed upon Abel's sacrifice with interest. So we read in Hebrew. The Lord made his face shine upon Abel. When God smiles upon us, then we smile. We are happy and not depressed. Divine benediction is the cause for our happiness. The Father spoke to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Divine benediction comes to those who obey Him. Today, worship of God in many churches are not well pleasing to God because they are not in accord with the Word of God. They worship for fun. They worship their own creativity, aping this secular culture. So they go home like Cain, angry, sulking, pouting, depressed. Cain was a self-righteous Pharisee. He refused to confess his sin. He needed not a savior. Therefore, he would not pray the sinner's prayer. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Philosopher Immanuel Kant, did you know, praised Cain for his creativity and autonomy. Kant was an unbeliever. Evil heart produces evil thoughts and evil deeds. Yet, like many unbelievers, Cain was religious and worshipped God. Second, divine questioning. Yet God, in His great mercy, came to Cain to counsel him, that he may believe in Him and so worship Him in faith, in truth. And Romans 2 verse 4 we read, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance?" How many times God brought you to His church where God spoke to you the gospel? But Cainites never believe. They say, "God, you take sin very seriously." Normal people don't. Sin is not bad. Sin makes people happy for a while. And what's wrong with feeling happy? Yes, pleasure for a moment and depression for all time. The wrath of God, friends, abides upon the wicked. God came and questioned Cain, "Why are you angry? Why your face fallen? Why are you depressed?" The cause of depression is guilt. And the cause of guilt is sin, which is transgression of God's law because of your enmity toward God. Friends, there is no pill. There is no pill solution for this depression. It's a deep depression. There is no chemical solution. Drugs and alcohol and sex cannot cure your depression. You can do it more and more and more. It will bring you deeper and deeper and deeper into misery. Only Christ can, which the animal sacrifice pointed to. But Cainites refused to believe in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was raised for our justification. Why are you angry? Why are you depressed, Cain? Now comes the divine counsel in God's great mercy. And it is coming to you. You can go on and on, year after year after year after, in continuous misery, because you don't want to listen what God is telling you. So what is the counsel? Do what is right, and your face will be lifted up. You know what is right. I have revealed to you the acceptable way of approaching me by blood sacrifice. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Your sin depresses you. Your sin must be atoned by another, that you be happy forever. David learned this lesson, Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Happy is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, when I refused to confess, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. God knows how to do it, how to make you confess, repent. And he'll do it. For this reason, many of you are weak and sick. A number of you die. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. And verse 11, rejoice in the Lord and be glad. You righteous, joy and righteousness. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. And Psalm 51, Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, O God, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. And verse 8, he says, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. And in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Hebrews 9, verse 22, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. God's gracious counsel continues. And if you refuse to do what is right, that is, if you reject my counsel, sin is crouching at the door of your heart. It desires to control you, but you must master it. Friends, wages sin pays out is depression and death. And don't come and tell me you are having a good time. Rule sin or be ruled by sin. Resist the devil or be possessed by the devil. How do I do right? God says, believe me and approach me with the prescribed sacrifice of a sinner. Today we say, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and you will be happy, happy forever. The guilt of sin shall not depress you. Obedience of faith in Christ is the cure of sin caused by depression. Sin, yea, the devil himself is crouching like a lion to pounce upon you and destroy you. Resist the devil by obedient faith. Joseph resisted the devil in Egypt, saying, how can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? Above all, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The devil tempted Jesus throughout his life, yet he always pleased his Father. The eternal Son became incarnate to do the will of God in life and by his death. He taught us to pray, thy will be done, not my will be done. You do your will and be depressed and pout and sulk and blame everybody else. He taught us to pray, thy will be done. He said to the devil, it is written. He said to the devil, get thee behind me, Satan. He glorified his Father by his perfect obedience. So in the high priestly prayer of John 17, we read, I have glorified you, I have brought you honor on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Yes, sin is crouching at the door. It's a formidable enemy. Yes, the devil is a roaring lion and he is crouching at the door of your heart. But that's not the whole story. God himself is standing at the door of your heart and is speaking to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, the destroyer of the devil, stands at the door and knocks. You are hearing the gospel. Christ is knocking at the door of your heart. Jesus is calling. And he says to you today, do the right thing and be happy. By faith in Jesus Christ, receive the gift, the free gift of salvation, and be happy for the first time in your life. You want to know who is Christ and what he has done? 1 John 3 verse 8, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. St. Paul in Colossians 2, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You want to know who Christ is? He defeated the devil. And Hebrews 2, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. Incarnation, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. You want to know who Jesus Christ is, who stands at the door and knock? Philippians 2, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on a cross. Why did he die? Christ died for our sins and was raised for our justification. The paradise lost is gained by Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way back to paradise is Jesus. Do right and feel happy. It's not don't worry, be happy. Do right. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be happy. By faith in Jesus, change your behavior first and you will be happy. Happiness will follow righteousness. Kingdom of God is first, what's a righteousness? That is doing what is right, leading to peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right conduct, doing God's will, certainly lead you to true peace and joy. Don't put feeling first. Do what is right. Know what is right. Do what is right. And you will feel the joy of the Lord. The Shorter Catechism asks the question, what is the chief end of man? The answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God. Coming to us from John 17 verse 4, glorify God means to obey God, to honor God by doing God's will. And second, enjoy him forever. Obedience first, joy second. Happiness is the son of obedience. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. St. Peter says, 1 Peter 3 verse 10, whoever would love life, and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Live right, then you will live a good life. Right behavior leads to feeling of joy. And that feeling of joy comes from divine benediction on your person and on your work. So be an overcomer. And we read they overcame the devil, crouching at the door of their hearts by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I counsel you, use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus Christ counsels the church to be an overcomer 7 times. In Christ Jesus, our supreme conqueror, we are all super conquering people. His victory is our victory. Resist the devil by submitting to Christ, and the devil shall flee from you. Do not give place to the devil by sinning. Friends, we are not ignorant of the devil's strategy. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. Master sin by trusting in Christ and doing what is right. Don't embrace moral relativism of our corrupt culture of this country. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. God said so. Do what is right, as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Either you go Christ's way or the devil's way. You don't want to do what is right. If not, sin will find you out. And you will pay for your sin with pain, physical, psychological, and spiritual. Numbers 32:23, but if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. God speaks to David, you did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Leviticus 26. Then when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they pay for their sin. Again in Leviticus 26, they will pay for their sins because they rejected my laws and abhorred my decrees. Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. I don't reap what you sowed. You reap it. And your father is not going to reap it either. You reap it. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his flesh, from flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Think God's thoughts and do God's thoughts, and the God of peace shall be with you, and in his presence there is fullness of joy. Let me read to you from Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Think God's thoughts, do God's thoughts, and God himself shall be with you. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Then he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Then comes the promise, and the God of peace will be with you. Friends, sinful handling of sin, J. Adams said, will cause greater depression. Cain refused God's counsel to deal with his sin of unbelief and went away and murdered his own brother. He became a person past feeling, incapable of repentance. So we read Ephesians 4:19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. And Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been what's a seared as with a hot iron, past feeling. You hear the word of God preached, it doesn't do anything to you anymore. Your parents tell you it doesn't do anything. Past feeling. Cain became devil-controlled, like Judas. And in John 13 we read, devil prompted him, and later on devil entered into him. Let me tell you, feeling depressed, let me tell you, J. Adams said, let me tell you why. Instead of cleaning house and cooking supper, you watch television for many hours, and all of a sudden you feel depressed. The cure is repent, ask the Lord to forgive, start cleaning, start cooking, everything will be all right. Look at what Judas did, like Cain. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse, depression, and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and elders. I have sinned, he said, for I betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied, that's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Many people commit suicide out of depression. Cain, why are you angry? Why are you depressed? He was angry at God, angry at the righteous Abel. Cain, your problem is not caused by God or your brother. Why don't you look at yourself? You sinned. You must repent and obey God. Don't blame others as your father and mother did. Confess, forsake, and you will find mercy. Cain refused God's counsel. People today refuse pastoral counsel and parental counsel. They think they know better. They go away mastered by the devil, like Cain and Judas. They live a depressed life. There was only one demon before, now eight, as we read in Matthew 12. Only one before. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept, clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of the man is worse than the first. That's how it will be with this wicked generation. So what happened to this miserable Cain? Number one, he was mastered by sin and the devil. Number two, he was cursed by God. Previously, only the serpent and the ground were cursed. Now Cain was cursed, cut off from God forever. Number three, he murdered his brother and increased his guilt and depression. Number four, he was expelled from God's presence. Number five, he became restless. Number six, he became a wanderer. Number seven, he became the father of a godless people called Cainites. Look at him, going away from God, depressed man, to live evermore in misery. He goes away with a long face. He goes away cursing God. Had he obeyed God, he could have enjoyed God's presence with a radiant face. Because the Bible says those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Here are some application. Number one, thank God. God brought you here by grace, and you have heard God's counsel. Number two, Jesus Christ saves sinners and only sinners who confess their sin. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them finds mercy. Number three, it is my prayer that you will go out with joy, with a radiant face, blessed and not cursed. Number four, you will go out to love God's people, not to hate them. Number five, Cain could not kill God, so he killed his righteous brother. Therefore, disobedient Christians want to kill righteous God's people. Number six, to live a happy life, say no to sin and yes to our Savior. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all many teachers. Grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Number seven, be ye imitators of God by imitating Jesus. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. We read about Jesus. Paradise lost by Adam is gained for us by second Adam, Jesus Christ, upon whom the flaming sword held out by the cherubim fell in his atoning death of the cross. The Father handed him over to death that in Christ we may approach the throne of grace, not judgment, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Number nine, this God, our triune God, is with us forever. There is joy in serving Jesus. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus. Hear and do. The first Adam sinned and brought us death. The second Adam obeyed and brought us eternal life, for he became a life-giving spirit. In the resurrection of Christ, all his people rise with him to live a new life, eternal life. Cain went away filled with the devil. But God's people are filled with the Holy Spirit, who worship God in spirit and in truth, who live a joyful, happy life. Heavenly Father, we pray that you help your people to do what I counsel, which is your counsel, that they be happy in serving Jesus. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.